Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. I'm Dr. Richard Friend, and today we interview Dr. James Reeves, a psychiatrist at University Medical Center. One of the groups suffering most from COVID is millennials. Many were just coming of age when the 2008 Great Recession hit, and now COVID is proving to be another setback. Let's listen as Dr. Reeves talks about the tough spot millennials are in. Welcome to Health Matters with your host, Mike Royer.
Welcome to another segment of Health Matters. My name is Mike Royer, and we welcome Dr. James Reeves back with us. Dr. Jamie Reeves is a psychiatrist at University Medical Center here at the University of Alabama. Dr. Reeves, it's good to see you again, sir. Thanks for joining us. We're taking a breath now and looking back on COVID. It's not completely over with yet, but we're looking at its effects on people. And specifically, we ask you to come today to talk about a specific age group, young adults, roughly 18 to 25, and how they're dealing with COVID and all of its ramifications. This is an age group that ranks kind of high in your concerns, is that right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's been a big concern over the last year with COVID, is how it's impacting different age groups. And the CDC and other groups have done surveys throughout the year looking at how people are dealing with COVID, from anxiety, from depression, from a lot of these symptoms that people experience from COVID, and comparing that to what things were like before COVID. And we're seeing big spikes in the numbers of people impacted through anxiety and depression because of COVID, especially in that young adult population.
Do we know enough yet to sort of analyze what it is about that age group that causes them to be a bit more stressed than other age groups?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's really hard to tell from some of the data, learning what the causes are. We just know that the results are increased rates, and you know, about 10 times more so than what older adults are experiencing, and about twice to three times as much as what they're experiencing prior to COVID. Now, we can have some guesses and some ideas about what that may be, and some of that may be that younger adults are experiencing COVID in a way that other age groups are not. So younger adults, many times impacted by college, so their schools have been closed down, they're on online classes, they aren't around the friends that they're normally having, they're not going to the events that they normally go to, yeah. Graduations, parties, sports activities, and many of them identify as athletes, student athletes, and that's all been canceled. So many, their whole lives have been upended in a way that older adults may not have had the same kind of problems.
That age group, 18 to 25, is when, if I recall correctly, you're stressed about, what do I want to be when I grow up, when I get out of college? Will I ever find a job in my career field? Will I find the right girl or the right man, if that's your preference? And mm-hmm. Will I have a family? And oh my good, this. That's a stressful time anyway without COVID, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And if you look at the suicide rates across the U.S., they've been actually going up in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. But if at about 30%, 35% increase in the last 20 years throughout all age groups. But if you look at that 18 to 25 year age group, it's about a 55% increase in suicide over the last 10 years. And so that age group has experienced kind of more so problems than that. And we've seen that with COVID too, that thoughts of suicide have increased more proportionally higher in that 18 to 25 year old age group.
That may be one of the saddest answers I've ever heard on our Health Matters program. Of all age groups, they should be the ones to, in our mind, plow through it. I'm tough, I'm young, nothing can get me. So it's very sad that an age group thinks about ending their life because of stress. I hope you're able to help some of those folks.
Yeah, we certainly try. And a lot of the research is done on how we can reach out to those folks in those age groups. And because it is unique to them. And the things that we see are issues like loneliness that are impacting that. The fact that they don't have their friends around in the way that they normally do.
Is that uniqueness for that age group also because they've not matured to the level of dealing with stress? Do you think there's a connection there? As it seems to me, as we get older, we can kind of deal with things better, like, oh, come on, I can handle this. They don't have that life experience yet.
You said
very much of it.
Yes, sir. You said it very well. Yeah, this is the first maybe big stress for and for many of them in their life. You know, they're still young, they're with their family, going off to college for the first time, starting a new job. And so this is really a pivotal time in their life. And when it is upended the way it is with changes in jobs and employment and all these things that have impacted people in that age group, that just adds to the ongoing stress that they have already. And so the hope is, on the bright side is that at the end of this, they will be resilient and they'll learn from this and they'll become stronger as a result of this. But yes, they're dealing with these life stresses for the really first time in their life. Those of us who are older, we've dealt with this in some ways and throughout our lives and kind of have learned and grown from that experience.
I wonder if you might help us lay people be on the lookout for signs that someone we care about in this age group, any age group, but specifically this age group that we care about, love, come in contact with. Are there things we can watch for and maybe reach out and help them or encourage them to come to a professional for help? Are there signs to watch for?
Yeah, I think some of the things that are important to look for is just a change in the person's overall mood. And so if they're normally someone who's kind of talkative and outgoing and socializing, and they become withdrawn, you know, not talking as much, seeming more irritable, more short-tempered, just, you know, lack of enjoyment, they don't seem to have fun, they're kind of canceling activities they normally would do. You know, maybe they find that they're not focusing as well, they're not doing as well in their work or in school or whatever that may be. Those are some of the things that you really start to worry about. And then it's important to ask if you really find that someone is doing poorly and you're really concerned about them, and they start saying things like, you know what, I don't care, who cares if I get COVID, if I die, I don't really care. Then that's something to really start to be concerned about. And you may even ask, you know, how are you feeling and how are you doing and how can I help you? And reaching out to see if you can kind of be that lifeline for the person who's really struggling.
Generally speaking, a young person doesn't often come to you and go, I'm thinking about ending it all. You have to do some real conversation, 1, 2, 3, maybe 10 times before you kind of start to get to the root of the problem. Is that true?
Yeah, it's good to have a sense of trust. And sure. If you're a family member or a friend, you may have that trust already and you may be more comfortable talking about that, kind of some of those deeper issues. But even that is a really difficult thing to bring up, to say, you know, are you having thoughts of ending your life? But that's an important question to ask. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people are afraid to ask it, but that may be, you know, the most important question to ask for someone who's really thinking about that, to say, I'm here to help you. Can you tell me that? And how can I help you with that?
If you ask a young person if they're thinking about ending their life, I assume if they say yes, you know how to proceed. But if they pause for very long, I wonder if that's a warning sign to a professional like you too.
Yeah, you can even say something like, you pause for a bit, can you tell me about what you're thinking and how you're feeling right now as we talk about this? And that maybe allow them to talk more.
Let's end with this. We humans are a funny lot. We're afraid that if people find out we're weak or perceived to be weak or afraid or feel stress or feel suicidal thoughts that we're failures, how do you begin to get over that, to let them know that you're a failure, maybe, if you don't seek help, if you don't save yourself? How do you begin to do that?
Yeah, that's a great point. Just my background, I spent 20 years in the Navy as a Navy psychiatrist, working with the Marine Corps. I was in Iraq in combat. And so a lot of people just say what you said, especially in the military. I'm not weak. I don't need that help. And this talky therapy is not for me. But you say everyone has that point where they need help in their life. There comes a time where actually it shows strength for you to ask for help. And to be able to kind of not get help is really a sign of weakness, and that you're not functioning as well as a father, as a brother, a son, or whatever that may be, or daughter in your life. And it's important to be strong and to ask for help to get better for yourself so that you can be there for others around you and do whatever you do in life.
I'll tell you this, Dr. Reeves, if I ever needed help, your resume of helping tough Marines and others would be a strong indication that you could probably help me too if I reached out for help. Thanks for your expertise. I enjoy talking to you, and any patient that comes to see you would do well to do that. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much for having me.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit umc.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center, with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, and Fayette.